are back on the hunt with Supernatural Season 7, Episode 8, Season 7, Time for a Wedding. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. If you're listening to this one, thank you. Because Chris, I'll be honest with you, I don't even really want to talk about this episode. I hate this episode. And let me just say, I didn't enjoy that episode with Osiris. I'm forgetting the name of the episode and what number it was and all that. But this episode might take its place as the worst episode of season 7. And we're only 8 episodes in, so that could certainly change. But this, as of now, is my least favorite episode. And yes, Garth is in it. And yes, we learn some things about Crowley. But like, honestly, what was the point of this one, Chris? I don't know. I'm still struggling with that answer.
Yeah, this one, generally speaking, I try to be fairly positive. And Garth is my positive in this episode. This is one where Sam runs into Becky and they end up getting married. And Dean finds it suspicious. Of course, he finds it suspicious. I mean, come on. Sam suddenly going off and marrying Becky. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would be suspicious, too. This one, by the way, November 11th, 2011 was its air date. Tim Andrews, his first directorial. And sorry, Tim, not the greatest start. No offense to Tim. 7.8 on IMDb. And the fact that this is a 7.8, I just want to say this.
Yeah.
This is a 7.8 and The Mentalist is a 7.9 on IMDb. And again, IMDb. So it is what it is, right? Like sure. You can take it for what that is and what that means to you. These are not 0.1 away from each other in quality, in my context, at least. But the fact is, this episode literally starts out where Sam says he's going to take some time camping alone in the desert. And then Dean gets this call and says, hey, come to the chapel. I'm getting married to Becky. And it's like, what? So, yeah, something's up. And when it comes down to it, clearly there's something astray, right? You know, there's weird things happening. And I don't know, to your question, what's the point? I don't know what the point is. Yeah. Because most of these episodes have had a purpose. You go to the last one, we learned some interesting things, right? Learning about Crowley, to your point, yeah, there's some interest in that. But the main piece has to hold me in. And last of us, we talked about, you know, that granddaughter character really, to me, holding interest. And I think playing a great role. You had a fantastic ghost. This one, you're counting on Becky. And I get what Becky's supposed to be. I have no problem with the existence of the character Becky. But she's not the put at the center of the episode character for me. She's a side character who's there. She maybe has some lines. She's maybe doing some things. Out of all the female characters in this show, she is probably, and by that I mean the ones who are on it more than a few episodes, she's probably my least favorite. Just because the appeal of her is limiting to me. And this one, yeah, it didn't do anything for me either. I just, you know, Garth is my positive in this episode. And was he in it enough? That's a good question. You know, Garth was there. Great. I would have liked more Garth in this episode than I would have liked Becky. So that's not what we get, though.
No, Chris, as you know, we're on Reddit. We're on X, Twitter. We're on Threads. I asked a while ago, I think we were covering season 5. Like, what do fans think of Becky? Right. And I put that out there because Becky was created as a way to mock some of the fan base, right? Of the people that were shipping characters and writing fan fiction. Like, that's really what Becky was created to do. So the fact that we're keeping Becky and, you know, featuring her in a prominent episode, she's getting a lot of screen time here, right? I think it's fair to say. The fact that we're bringing her back, it's sort of a question mark. To go back to that, people really don't like Becky from what I gather. Like, the fans who Becky is meant to mock, they obviously don't like her because they don't feel like they represent that kind of person. But even, you know, people like us, Chris, fans of like the story, right? The characters, like you and I aren't writing any fan fiction, fair to say.
No.
Even people like us, fans like us, we just kind of find Becky annoying, right? So like the fact that we're including Becky here, I don't think anybody is happy about. Can I tell you what I think this episode was supposed to do, like the point of it. Yeah. Here's my theory. It opens up, right? And we'll get into the plot here. It opens up with Dean at a strip club and he's venting to a stripper and he tells a stripper, you know, my friend, his brother just abandoned him for 4 days to go camping in Las Vegas. I'm worried about him because his head is, you know, not on straight, right? He's alluding to the fact that Lucifer is in Sam's head. He tells the stripper that he's worried about him because it's his job to protect him, right? As the episode goes on, Sam is under sort of a spell, a potion, whatever you want to call it. And he says to Dean, you know, you're just mad because you are the one that's supposed to protect me, but I have a wife now, so you're upset. I think what this episode was trying to do, Chris, was try to show that Dean still feels like he should be the protector of Sam. And whenever Sam disappears, that really kind of worries Dean. And this episode is supposed to like be some kind of, I don't know, healing moment for Dean to kind of let that role go. If that's the case, though, Chris, this episode completely failed because, like I said, I had to do a lot of like digging and I actually rewatched this one twice, Chris, unfortunately, because the first time I watched it, I couldn't understand what the point was. So I had to rewatch it again. If I'm rewatching twice, Chris, you know, it's fair to say the writers failed their job on this one, but that's my theory anyway.
Yeah. And in this one, just from a plot perspective, they do all these tests on Sam in this to make sure that he's not, he's okay. Ultimately, Becky went for all the tests. She's not a monster. She's not a demon. And Dean is still in completely skeptical of what's happening.
Right.
And ultimately, you're dealing a little bit with also seeing Sam fighting what's going on with him. Because there's a moment where he like grabs his head in pain, yeah, which brings up other questions. And it's very clear early on because she's dumping some vial into his drinks. Right. So, you know, okay, something's up. What is this thing that she's clearly using? So you already know. Like, I mean, early on in this episode, you know she's doing this. And what I actually dislike about this is that Becky would do this, because I also was under the impression that Becky's a good person. She might want or have an interest in these characters, because now these are real characters. Again, let's think about her introduction. Right. She comes in. Sam and Dean are real. Like, what a dream for her, right? Like, these are real. Like, they're not just book characters. I didn't think Becky was the type of person, though, to go to that level, because that's going to the level of what a monster would do, right? And so that's actually why I dislike it. Mm-hmm. Take away the Becky is, I like the Becky character, or I dislike the Becky character. I don't think this is in context or in character for Becky. This doesn't feel like something Becky would do. That's actually my issue here. Yeah. So it's not a hating on Becky, the character. I think she's fine in small doses and serves her purpose. I think she is one of the weaker characters ever in the show too, who gets constant airtime throughout. But I just think this is out of context. And that's what bugs me more than anything.
Yeah.
I don't say it very often. I think for the most part, you can skip this. The only enjoyment piece for me out of this is seeing Garth and Crowley. And so it's interesting that a side character who's at the center of it is kind of making me go, ugh. But there's the other two side characters are the kind of thing that keep me going, all right, what are they up to? And because at the end of this, Crowley's going to essentially cancel these deals, right? He's going to make these deals. And he actually, we learned, supports they're hunting the Leviathan. So we learn interesting information. There's that connection to this core seasonal plot, but it's not enough. I think you could skip this and watch, you know, and you'd be okay, even though that's there, which I don't say often, because most of the time, I don't think you can skip a lot of episodes. I really don't. I think you could skip this and be okay and just kind of understand it happened, you know, with what we're talking about. But that's my big issue, Dan. It's Becky's annoying maybe as a character. I'm not going to debate that. I'm not going to dispute that. But would she really do this? This just seems like obsessed fan going a little too far, especially having read all the books.
Yeah, no, I agree. Becky helped them in earlier seasons, right? Like, they helped them when Chuck wouldn't. So for her to like, I mean, this is psychopath behavior. Becky was excitable, certainly, Chris, in earlier seasons. But would she do this? I agree with you. Probably not. right? And look, yes, Crowley shows up at the end, and what do we learn? We learn that they've been leaving them alone, them being demons, because they're hunting Leviathan, and Crowley doesn't want to deal with them. Okay. Did we need that detail? I don't think so, Chris. I think we can make that assumption, and we can cover that with a line of dialogue later. I don't think we need to commit an entire episode to that, because it seems like the whole Becky demon deal thing was to explain that Crowley bit at the end, right? On top of whatever connection they're trying to make with Dean and Sam. It's a miss, Chris. It's a waste of space. It's very corny. Some of the deaths that we get in this episode, like the baseball hitting the guy in the face, I thought that looked terrible. The CGI was so bad. That's another thing with this season, Chris. The Leviathan CGI, absolutely. I think that's a big one. But I think people miss the occasional CGI, like, you know, simple death scenes like that. I thought it was really weak and kind of messy. And we don't need it. Right, we don't need to waste money in that CGI. Just a lot of misses, and this episode unfortunately falls at the bottom of my list here.
Yeah, this one definitely not a winner for me. I think it again. I'll go back to what I said. I'm not going to repeat it, just because it's and again, Garf is in it. Great, I love that. You know, we get some Garf time. This is not Garf's not at the center of anything and doesn't do anything of incredible use in this one.
Right.
The core plot, let's just make sure we cover this, really is the fact that Gary is a guy, not Gary. It seems like a demon named Gary. Guy is going around making these deals with people, and that's at the heart, and it connects right back to the main plot. And it's a very simple plot. It's not a difficult plot to understand. It's not all that interesting, though, and I think that's what it is. I'm happy to jump right into trivia, to be honest, because I don't think there's much more to talk about with this one, and I want to, because just so people know, sometimes we'll record two or three episodes. The next one we get to talk about, Dan, involves the Jersey Devil, and yeah. I'm much more excited about that one. But trivia, that ring that Sam's wearing is actually his real wedding ring, which I do think is neat. I love that they pulled that in. We know who he's married to, right? Genevieve. So it's neat when you think about who he's really married to. Who would you rather he marries? You know, the tweets that Becky are tweeting are actually real. They can still be found on that Twitter account. Is that still true to this day? Actually, can we actually, like, I know this was true. Is this unless Becky got rid of her account, you know, with Elon taking over? Who knows? We don't know how Becky feels about X. We got to look this up. We're doing this in real time as I'm doing it too. Let's see. Super Becky. Yeah, they're all there. Officially tweet. Here it is, by the way. September 23rd, 2011. First official tweet as Mrs. Becky Rosen Winchester. It's still there. That is cool. I want to point that out. Yeah. It's pretty
neat. If you're looking for it, I just reposted it on our account, which is back on the Hunt SPN podcast. That's BOTH SPN podcast. If you're looking to dig into those tweets. Yeah, that's hilarious, Chris. The fact that they are still there. Pretty cool.
I like that. I like that a lot. And in the beginning of this episode, Sam positions Dean to stand at his side at his wedding. In real life, Ackles was a groomsman in Jared's and vice versa. So this is a neat thing that they were both in. So there's a nice moment with that. And this is that first appearance of Garth, right? And I just want to note that is important. So that's what excites me about Garth. This is our brief introduction to him. And we're going to get to know Garth more. And Garth's going to become a character I really like over the course of time. The evolution of his character is incredibly interesting, and the guy quirky but incredibly useful over the course of many seasons.
Yes. While it is the first appearance, Chris, I think you'll remember, I think it was season 6, Weekend at Bobby's, where he actually talks to Garth on the phone. We don't see him on screen, but technically you want to count that first mention of Garth. That is what happens in Weekend at Bobby's.
Yes. Indeed. So yeah, there we go. I think that was, again, pretty neat. So ultimately, there's some fun things in here. Oh, by the way, the chapel. There's one other thing that we should note. The chapel that Sam's getting married in is the same chapel as the one where Sam faces Lilith in season 4. I didn't pick up on that in the initial watch. So like sometimes I go back and look at that after. So that's one thing that I like to do. But yeah, same chapel. And it's great. I think when we think about these shows, the way that angles play a part of you shoot one thing from one angle and shoot another thing from another angle in one venue, they look like completely different locations. Sometimes that's the case. I said last week that I didn't necessarily, I thought I could have probably told that the diner was the same if I actually watched them back to back. And I like to do that test from time to time of would I notice that, you know, and, but yeah, same venue, but yeah, that's it, Dan. I mean, I don't have much more to say on this one. I think, yeah, it's one of a few that I'm going to say is skippable. And just because I don't think any of the stuff is pertinent. I understand this probably might make some people laugh and they might have found it amusing. I didn't personally, and I'm going to go back to my core point. I don't think Becky would do this. I think, yes, she's a super fan. Okay, I get it. But I don't think she'd go to that extreme because that endangers the world potentially and herself and doing that. I just don't think that's who she is. And so you don't have to like the character. You could love the character. I think it's out of context and out of character for her.
Yeah, in closing, Chris, I hate this episode. I'll tell you what, though. I did like that title opening, which we didn't cover, which is a wedding cake exploding. I thought that was really cool. That might be my favorite thing about it. Not a lot of episodes get that treatment. So I'll say that was, you know, the one thing about the episode that I liked.
There we go. We end on a nice positive, right? So there we go. But I will say with that, next week we're going to cover How to Win Friends and Influence Monsters, directed by Guy Norman B. I tend to, ironically, there's a guy directing the next one, so there we go. I like Guy quite a bit, actually. I think he does some cool things for the show, and that one is one that I've been looking forward to, so I am excited to talk about that one. And with that note, Dan, I think it's fair to say that's it for this week, but we will be back because, after all,
we've got work to do.